Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 660. Has it really been that long? It's our pre-Thanksgiving special. We sit around, we discuss the worst Thanksgivings we've ever had. Kay comes in, and we have a little bit of a face-off in terms of mashed potato recipes. So all you mashed potato fans, stay tuned. Head on over to podsurvey.com/facerocker. We got a little survey up. We're going to give away we're calling it the Christmas Cornucopia Prize Pack to three different people. It's a whole bunch of merch. It's any Steam game that you want. It's a whole bunch of awesome prizes just for filling out the survey. They're also giving away a Amazon gift card, $100 randomly to someone who fills out. It takes you just a second. So head on over there. Help us out. Help out the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And let's get going into our Thanksgiving extravaganza.
Wait, we're not going to do the phone thing?
No, John,
the phone thing for a second.
The time is past.
No, we were missing the beat. People need to know what that sounded like, I think.
No, you got to experience
that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very weird Face Rocker podcast. Freddie here, joined today by my stalwart gang of commentators, rock and rollers.
We're back.
Felons.
No,
felons.
That's convicted.
No, maybe. No, not at all. No,
not convicted.
At least in this state, am I right? To my left,
not the, in a court of peers.
To my left, the unstoppable John Carmen.
That's me.
John's unstoppable.
To your right, the unfathomable Benji Dolly.
And of course, Desmond Dolly.
Hey, speaking of unfathomable, I just want to tell a quick story. We were, the show just ended, so we're getting a huge outpouring of a lot of kind words from fans from the show, which has been really nice. But somebody sent me a picture from the first season. You know, I was a little bit heavier then. My girlfriend was sitting
that's
next to
by
me.
By the way, real quick, that's slightly an understatement.
You went from
flab to a slab. A slab of man steel.
Fab.
Okay.
Fabby and now that slab that weirdness of madness.
Fabby slab.
Yeah. Like that. Put that on your
Anyways,
cat.
She's looking at the picture and she's just like leaning over my shoulder and I'm just like responding to the kid. I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. You know, I appreciate it. And she looks at me and she goes, wow, I can't believe you got the part. I mean, games is supposed to be good looking. And she just starts laughing in my face.
So that was a moment in my life.
And that's how you knew she was a keeper.
Was it nepotism? How did you get that role?
Well, I did kind of luck out and move into the apartment complex.
That got you the audition.
That video game high school.
Yeah, that's the
was
foot in the door. The rest of the body came through all the weight.
All 220 pounds of body.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all of it. Anyways, I just had to get that off my chest. I don't know if I was upset about it.
Or your breasts.
Kind of sad. Yeah. It was about my breasts. Yeah.
Benji was
huge,
fat.
Huge, succulent
so
breasts.
Benji was fat. Let's talk about that for 20 minutes.
Anyway, yeah, let's not.
Tiramisu has joined
us as
well.
Tiramisu in front of me. I'm eating myself into submission here because my apartment flooded last night.
Yeah. God.
So I come home. And I see Jimmy standing in the kitchen looking quizzically up at our ceiling. There's a sound of running water. They were working on water pipes in our building. And I'm like, all right, whatever, man. He's like, that's a weird sound. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Not 30 seconds later, water starts pouring from my ceiling. When I say pouring, I don't mean like, oh, a drip here and there. It was literally raining indoors because my upstairs neighbor got like a custom toilet with like all kinds of like features and doodads and like things that spray your butthole with
like
water.
One of those couples love toilets, like a his and her, so they can hold
dude,
hands.
I don't know what it was,
love toilet.
It exploded.
You know, it sprays their fancies.
And, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. No, the unmentionables and the air dryer and then plays music and everything. Yeah, but it exploded and just sent water everywhere. He was gone, by the way. The neighbor wasn't even there. He was out to dinner with his wife and the front
desk. So the toilet spontaneously exploded.
I think it happened when they turned the water back onto the building and something must have happened there. I don't know. I can only speculate. I'm not a plumber.
So the toilet explodes and then what?
Then water fills up his upstairs and, you know, there's wood floor and my ceiling's kind of like, I don't have a drywall on the ceiling. It's just exposed wood beams. Now starts dripping water from all over the place, and I come and it's like there was like an inch of standing water within like 20 minutes because he couldn't get back for another half.
So you walk in, Jimmy hears a strange noise.
Yeah,
you go into the other room,
right?
And 30 seconds later, you hear
Jimmy and Abby from the other room going like, "Freddie, we need you out here right now." And I'm on the can at this point, and I'm like, "What could this?"
Freddie's on his
be?
Very not so special, very normal commode type situation.
Oh yeah, this is a stock OEM toilet. No one special.
1.1 GPS.
Stock.
Yeah, if you wanted to play music, that's your iPhone. That's your iPhone on Spotify. Just turn it up as best as you can. You know, like that's the kind of level that we're dealing with here. And so,
that's a great analogy.
So it's horrible right now, by the way, because we had to call. There's, you know, guys who come and clean this stuff up. They vacuum it all up into this industrial size like looking thing.
So this is all last night.
This is all just last night.
This whole multi-hour parade of cleaning up toilet water.
It was
water.
Up to like 2 a.m. with this. And then here's the worst part, right? Is they have to dehumidify the dehumes, as they say in the parlance of the industry. They're like, yeah, we got to get a couple dehumes in there. I'm like, I could start using that and start sounding like I know I'm time out. So they had they have like 6 dehumes.
We could use a dehume in here.
Yeah, dehume it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they have them all over the place. What they don't tell you is the dehumidifier is an active process. So my inside of my bedroom sounds like I'm like flying in a jet.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, like that's all I hear.
Your apartment's a Maxwell commercial now.
Dude, my apartment's a wind turbine. My apartment's the wind turbine from the beginning of Face Off right now. And so everything's drying out.
Any serious damage?
I don't know.
We were just over there the other day. You guys got a lot of stuff in there.
We do. All the gold bullion hidden in the walls.
All those YouTube bridges.
Netflix money.
The Netflix mansion. Yeah. No, there was all this. No, I don't know yet. I think the bigger issue is I think there's water in the electrical. And there might be, you know, and they obviously don't want mold. You don't want mildew and all that stuff. So it's going to dry out. Anyway, so my neighbor has it pretty bad because his whole wood floor got all boned. And then I had it bad because it was raining inside my place. It was raining his poo water.
You know,
I must say,
you're in pretty good spirits about this.
Was it actual poo water? Hold on, was it actual poo water or was it like clean?
No. I think it was clean, but it was coming through the wood floor, so it was kind of dirty. And yeah. I posted a picture on my Twitter of it. And you can see, so I had some
tweet your response to Freddie about the poo water.
Well, you can see how much water is coming down because I have some of these like large scale, like
5 gallon size buckets
drums for basting like meats and turkey and stuff in because Turkey Day is coming up. By the way, when's this coming? This is coming out around Thanksgiving, isn't it?
This will be up tomorrow, actually.
We're a week away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can talk about our festive plans.
Yeah, holiday festival plans.
Oh, wait,
okay.
Wait, hold on real quick, though. In this picture that you're speaking of,
yeah.
I saw at least 3 or 4 of these 5 gallon size buckets.
Oh, they're full. And full.
How many meats do you plan on brining?
Well, it came with 2. I bought them on Amazon.
Okay. All right. I was just... All right.
So anyway, Thanksgiving, Turkey Day coming up next week.
Yeah.
I want to hear about... Because I have a good story for this, but I want to hear about your worst Thanksgiving.
My worst Thanksgiving?
Your worst Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's easy.
I know. Do I know? Is this...
No, okay, I have 2
I'll
really
tell
bad.
That one. All right. I'll tell that
okay,
one.
Okay, Carmen, get yours like queued up here. You can't just sit there.
Because you know what I'm talking about, right?
There was a... Yes, yeah. I know where Benji's going to go with this. My worst Thanksgiving was after I moved in with you down in the old apartment. And some of you may have seen pictures or obviously
the old behind-the-scenes videos.
The old lofts. The downstairs was horrific. It was just this grungy garage type of place that we called our quote-unquote home. And that was the first Thanksgiving I spent out here by myself.
Mm.
Everyone else went home to their families. It was just me in this huge apartment. By myself.
Oh, God. That
I like got
too.
Like a $2 pack of frozen turkey and like a jar of gravy. And I just sat there watching
Netflix you called me.
By myself for 4 days, Thanksgiving weekend. No friends, no family, just hating myself. Sad, lonely.
Dude, you went
depressed.
After it, man. That's called the struggle right there. You went
that's
after it.
That's what it was.
It.
No
Dude,
money to go anywhere
it,
and entertain myself. Just sitting on that couch, waiting for the holidays to end so I could go out and look for a job.
That's depressing.
Man.
All right.
Oh, God. Pretty bad.
Mine was a lot more fun than that. You say worst, but this one's just really memorable to me because it has a funny freak out from Dez. Dez is hilarious when he gets aggravated.
almost all the time.
I can't help but, like, I don't even want to help the situation. I just want to, like, I just want to laugh at him. So
Which doesn't help, and then I get more aggravated.
This is when I was in college. I came to visit when Dez was living here in L.A. because he had spent the previous Thanksgiving alone, and I was like, I'll go visit Dez for Thanksgiving.
Yes, the next year after World's Worst Thanksgiving.
Like, this poor guy is stuck out there alone.
You felt pity for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to go, John? You finding a way to sneak out?
Okay. Oh,
okay.
John, you got to move slow, man.
Terrifying me right
slow.
Now. He just slowly took his headphones off, and he started doing this weird table creep.
I just want to scoot up, get comfy, because I'm in for a lot of Thanksgiving.
It looked like you were
right
up
now.
To something. Okay.
Yeah. John always looks like he's up to
slow movements. John, you're scaring us.
And so we go to visit. We're like, hey, you know, Thanksgiving, let's go to Disneyland on Thanksgiving while you're here, because everybody's going to be with their families.
Nobody's
going to be at Disneyland. We'll get
on
everything.
The surface, sound logic.
Right? We're like, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to walk on everything. We get there. It's the busiest amusement park I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so big. And we used to go to Cedar Point every summer. Cedar Point. We're used to busy amusement parks. Like, I've never seen more people in my life.
People were flying from Timbuktu to spend the day at Disney with their families.
We don't know much about Disney. You have to know Disney stuff to know how to get like reservations for like the cool restaurants and stuff that are in there. Real quick.
You just call them. Or you go on their website.
You just have to plan. That's all there is to it. You have to plan
There's
ahead.
No special Mickey hotline, by the way.
I could have swore that. Well, that's what I say to make myself feel better about it.
There's no like special app that you have to download.
Well, that's even more heartbreaking.
They have to answer.
We screwed it up, and we didn't get any reservations for the Sweet Blue Bayou or anything like that.
Oh, man.
Well, we showed up the best. We slept. Oh, you know what it was? I think we went to Long Beach. We went to Randy's Donuts.
Yeah.
Took our sweet time getting to Disney, so we don't show up until about noon.
Oh, boy.
And then we realize it's packed.
And it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Day. What are we going to do for Thanksgiving dinner? The first thing we do at Disney, right after our panic and our small freakout, is run from restaurant to restaurant and try to make reservations.
Oh. Yeah.
So then we spend like 2 hours not getting any reservations. And then finally we just give up and start just trying to have fun. And then it's time for food. Finally, Thanksgiving dinner time. And the only thing that there's a line that we can handle is the pizza port
over in
next to Captain EO in Tomorrowland. It's just this Buzz Lightyear pizza port. We go to get our food. We're in line and there's no tables. So like you have to like, there's like a line of people standing on the wall, just like looking for people getting up so they can jump on a table. And I'm like waiting to do that. Finally, like I make a beeline for a table. Dez goes from a different direction. This little child jumps at the table right in front of us, like right as I'm about to put a table down. This little kid, maybe like
you know what it was? It was Benji's hovering over the table, holding his tray, looking at me, waiting for visual confirmation that yes, that's good. And as Benji is hovering over the table with his tray, this girl like runs between his legs and pops up on the bench and stakes her claim.
Jumps at the table. Dez goes, oh, God damn it. Dez screams it in this pizza port of children. Everyone's like, what the hell? We have another 10 minutes. Like, we finally get a table.
Real quick, what is more depressing than the pizza port at Disneyland?
Pizza port at Disneyland with screaming children. And we're
because it's all kids, right?
Because it's all kids. We are a traditional Midwest family. We are used to turkey, stuffing, trimmings, big table, all the family.
Straight up Rockwell.
Yeah, exactly. We are at the opposite of that. Pizza port. I'm standing in the corner sulking, eating a slice of pepperoni.
Dez is so pissed. We finally sit down. I'm like, all right, man, hey, we're here. Let's have some. This looks delicious. This mac and cheese cup looks baller. Let's get after this. Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving, Dez. I can't remember what he grabbed. He grabbed an item off of his plate and just threw it back down and goes, oh, what the hell do I have to be thankful for? That was his actual reaction. That was what he actually did. He just like grabbed like a potato chunk and just tossed. He's like, what the hell?
This is horrible.
I threw a 9-year-old's temper tantrum.
The happiest place on earth.
The happiest place on earth.
And
we
wasted it being pissed off and irritated.
That's amazing.
We
blew
it.
That was hilarious. That was a funny day.
I ruined the whole
I'll
day
never
for everybody.
That was so funny.
Oh, did you guys get on any rides at least?
Well, at the end of the day, you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Dez has been in a pissed off.
Just the shittiest mood I've ever been in.
Every day, like everything that happens, we've screwed something up. So it's just one thing after another. Finally, at the end, we're about to see the freaking sweet firework show in
the
lagoon.
Is that sorcerer thing in the
lagoon? The sorcerer thing in the lagoon or whatever.
Fantastic. Yes.
And this dad, just right as it's about to start, this dad walks up holding his kid.
Benji and I somehow maneuvered ourselves. You know how busy that can get down there. Thousands and thousands of people. Again, it's Thanksgiving. This place is packed.
It's wonderful.
Benji and I luck out and get the best spot to see the whole show.
It's gorgeous.
It's absolutely beautiful.
You'll never get these.
Just a second after the music cues, the lights dim, smoke pours out of the machine.
Finally, something
goes our way. The magic is about to happen.
It's happening.
And I look at Benji and I hold his hand and I'm like, hey, man, Thanksgiving is popping off. We finally did it. I'm exaggerating a bit.
Yeah.
And this man and his child with his child slung over his shoulder somehow manages to step directly in front of my face. He happens to also be the world's tallest man, world's widest man, obstructs our view entirely.
He cuts right in front of Dez, and so his kid is facing the opposite direction, and we're so close, his kid's face is right in Dez's face.
His kid's face is right in my face.
So Dez just starts, making angry faces at him.
Not
at
the kid, I'm just flustered,
and just, pissed, and all of a sudden the kid just, notices Dez's, pissed off energy, and is just like, oh! The kid starts screaming. Oh, so I just look at Dez and I'm like, wow, you ruined that kid's day.
The kid starts screaming.
You ruined his day.
I want to go home. And Dad goes, okay, what happened? Okay. And then they walk away. And then I realize what's happening, and I'm trying to pretend, convince myself mm-hmm. that wasn't me. And Benji looks over and says, you just ruined that kid's Thanksgiving at Disneyland.
I don't know if that happened.
Not enough to have a bad Thanksgiving.
To ruin my Thanksgiving. I ruined that kid's.
Dude, do you think the kid on the ride home was like, there was a mean man behind us. He was mean mugging me.
I may have psychologically damaged that child.
It was just the nail in the coffin. It was just like, finally something was about to go our way, and then boom, just this happy-ass kid in our face, smiling his ass off.
I could have just stepped 6 inches left or right or found another spot.
Not another inch.
No, I chose to.
That's pretty bad.
Throw another tantrum. That's pretty bad.
That was that day. That was a long one, but that was Carmen.
Carmen, what do you got?
My Thanksgivings are mundane.
Yeah.
One time I had to sit at the kids' table, even though I was 16.
Oh, man, they ran out of green bean casserole. Oh, jeez.
The McCormick's all was out, and it wasn't enough mashed potatoes.
And Benny gave me a $300 check instead of the normal $600 check.
Whoa, what?
You get on Thanksgiving Day.
We have gifts on Thanksgiving?
Is that a thing?
It's an Asian thing. I don't get gifts. It's an Asian thing. Any holiday is an excuse to get a red envelope in Asian culture.
Do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving, Freddy, or not so much?
Yes! Of course we celebrate Thanksgiving. We actually is hardcore. We have family does dual Thanksgiving because we got Asians and white folk who have married into the clan, so it's full on turkey stuffing gravy, best mashed potatoes ever. By the way, secret mashed potatoes, ladies and gentlemen, secret mashed potatoes.
What is it?
Throw a little cream cheese in there.
Oh yeah,
cream cheese, a little Philadelphia, low fat,
or a little sour cream,
olive oil.
See, the sour cream and the cream cheese. Well, see, the cream cheese does that work. Mm-hmm. That the sour cream has a little flavor, has a little dimensionality. Now, the danger with cream cheese in the mashed potatoes is that you're going to get gummy mashed potatoes. So you just got to make sure that you mash a little less. Get a potato ricer, do it right.
Dude, it's became a completely different podcast.
No, hold on. No, we're going to go this.
Can we get a notebook?
No, will you go get Kate, please?
Bring
her in here. She's going to confirm this potato story. I'll explain why once Benji brings Kate.
Wait, what potato story?
Not potato story, but she's going to confirm whether or not this is the
method,
best practice for picking up mashed potatoes.
Anyway, so we do that. And because there's Asian folk in my family, we do a full-on Chinese feast as well. So it's just food on food, two different cultures, worlds collide, all you can eat.
All at once?
Yeah, dude. So I'll have all kinds of good ass rice and noodles and stuff on my plate.
Rice and noodles
and turkey and a little bit of dark meat, deep fry.
She didn't want to come, but I got her.
All right, Kate.
Listen,
Freddie just said you put the sour cream in the mashed potatoes, and that's the secret to a great tea day mashed potatoes.
Oh no, cream cheese.
Cream cheese. Excuse me. All right, Kate. Tell Freddie how you make mashed potatoes.
You boil potatoes for longer than you think you should, and in large chunks.
Yep.
You put in...
What kind of potatoes?
Russets.
Yeah, I use russets. Mm-hmm. Yukon Golds are an acceptable substitute.
You can. It's about starch content within the potato, so you don't want to do reds. You want to do brown or yellow.
Getting scientific in here. I like this.
Yeah, so I peel them, cut them, boil them forever.
Mash them.
With a little bit of salt.
Mm-hmm. In the water?
In the water.
After you bring it to a boil.
In the boil,
because the salt will delay the pot coming to a boil.
Basic science, folks.
This is chemistry 101, chumps.
All right, keep going.
Come on.
And then, I use a KitchenAid mixer.
Risky. Okay.
I know. But you mix the heck out of them with probably 2 sticks of butter.
Half and half, I can understand. I think, but here's the danger. Now here's the thing.
Is there an overwhip situation?
This is where personal preference comes
into. Don't overwhip.
This is where personal preference comes into play, because the texture is really lives and dies on your mixing methodology and your timing with your mixing. So it sounds like yours is a much smoother mashed potato.
Oh, dude. I got some creamy taters.
So cream. Okay.
I brought Kate in because I had these taters last night, and good God.
Yeah.
This is the best tray of mashed potatoes I've ever had in my entire life.
All right, okay,
butter, cream, salt, a little bit of pepper, and if you're feeling zesty, you can put in some of the juice from garlic, from the container of garlic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't really use fresh in my potatoes, it's too much, but you can put in just a little bit of juice.
Okay, all right, okay.
All right.
Listen, I want to go head-to-head. I want to go head-to-head. My methodology is slightly different. Starts the same. Water, salt, russets, right? You bring it to a boil. You get so that your paring knife slides easily in and out of it. Now, here's the thing, because I prefer less of a smooth creamy, and some might even say gummy. And I prefer a little bit more texture and crillicer in the potato, the final product. So after the paring knife goes through easily, you get the fork in it, peeling at that point, much easier. Mm-hmm. I combine, right, bit of a dollop of cream cheese into a potato ricer, go out into that so that I'm already coming out of that now, pretty close to a final state on that, and it's a very light, whip in the KitchenAid. I'm talking like 2 or 3 seconds.
Whoa.
3 to 5 seconds, like just a little bit, just to get a little more consistency into it, and chopped chives.
We're going to need to do a blind taste off.
You're talking about a ricer, which is essentially what the KitchenAid is doing anyway. Macerating the potato.
Right, but it's a different methodology for it, because when you're talking about a mixer, and
I'm
you go
sorry
through
that
it,
not everyone's kitchen in America so has a no, potato I will say this, and I will ricer say this. No, ready quick, to rock
I will say
and
this.
Roll.
I bought the potato ricer solely for this dish. Most of the time, and the Alton Brown School of Thinking talks about multi-use utensils. No point in spending, money on just one single-use type of thing. Mm-hmm. However, I make the exception for the potato ricer because I find that the mixing methodology that comes from the ricer totally different in terms of how you're combining the long strands of carbohydrates inside the potato, resulting in better overall texture. That's what I have to say about
this. I will counter saying that occasionally one must go after chunks with a hand mixer.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
Like,
absolutely.
Occasionally the KitchenAid can't get the full job done.
Well, which attachment are you using on the KitchenAid? Using the hook, right?
The paddle.
The attachment hook.
The paddle.
7
I go paddle.
Interesting.
So you've got
I've always used the hook attachment.
That's a child's play.
I take a bowl and I fill it with sink water and then I microwave it until it gets super hot. Hot to the point where it burns your fingers when you remove bowl from said microwave. And then you take a box of fresh, ultra fresh potato
flakes.
Potato flakes, right. And you sprinkle and you sprinkle and you sprinkle.
Until it's perfect.
And then you just kind of stir it up with
your
thumb.
Finger. I would live off that in college.
You stir that up, and then the secret is salt the shit out of it and dump a tub of gravy on it. Thanksgiving. In 30 seconds or less.
But gravy though, Thanksgiving, your opportunity is to make gravy off of the drippings. Mm-hmm. The turkey, you have to.
Do you guys?
You know what's crazy though? Because on one hand, I like that. I like that sort of old school gravy. On the other hand, I actually have been a fan of, for the longest time, like just because I think I grew up with it, the McCormick's instant gravy mix.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good straight ahead.
It's a good substitute.
Now here's what you can do though. Mm. You can combine the two.
No.
You can get a little bit of that McCormick's into your
stop.
Yeah. I'm just gonna MSG it out.
I'm gonna ask something up in here too. Yeah. Do you guys we take the turkey drippings and roast vegetables.
You are listening to The Delicious Dish with Catherine Farrington Garcia here on the Face Rocker
podcast. From this point on, you have to get really close to Mike, and so you have to hear the lips.
Right.
That sounds great, guys.
So what do you do with the drippings
great.
From the turkey?
So you roast vegetables in the drippings from the turkey?
Mm, yeah.
Separately? In a casserole dish? Mm-hmm. And then you blend those until they're liquefied and then make that into gravy.
Yummy.
It's interesting. What sort of you go for the root vegetables?
You're talking about root vegetables here?
Well, the celery and the turnips.
If you're really bold, you can go Brussels sprout.
John, that's interesting.
John, chime in here. Tell us your best tea day dish.
Here's John. Here's John, by the way. I saw his face in his head. It was him with a grocery basket at a Ralph's, hand on the canned cranberry sauce, and just moving it into the thing and be like, well, that's done.
You nailed it.
Basically.
How did you know?
Nailed it.
John, you're much of a cook, I don't think.
I I mean, every Thanksgiving, I usually visit my family. This is actually going to be one of the only Thanksgivings I'm going to be spending away from my family.
If you're lucky, it sounds like this could very well be
your
worst
time. I like these hem-dog eyes going from person to person at this table, being like, I'm here.
Well, I'm going to take notes and then just by myself. Just
I think we should set the stage for John's worst Thanksgiving ever, and then
you can
come
in
and tell us about it.
Yeah, how did we orchestrate a horrible Thanksgiving for me?
Oh, it'd be so good. Dude, food poisoning from Wendy's. That's one of my horrible Thanksgivings started.
Good God.
Yeah, nothing quite like getting up to eat by yourself on Ellendale off of USC, one of those apartments, and literally just being like, oh, it was me and Brian Ferenczi, and I was sick. And Brian Ferenczi we were doing the thing where we just bought a bunch of pre-made food from Marie Callender's.
Yep.
And that was that.
All my Thanksgivings while I was at USC were that. The frozen Marie Callender meals.
Also, I think I probably drank more Martinelli's over the course of that Thanksgiving week.
It's good stuff.
It's so good. It's the best.
Anyway.
One more recipe family treat is if you
share.
Take Martinelli's and vodka and refreeze it, it makes a delightful slushy.
Use the caramel vodka.
Good heavens.
Yes.
That's a game changer.
Kick it up a notch.
Do you have a name for that?
Kate, I'll let you name it. I don't know.
It's Dez's holiday treat.
Well, that's what I call something else. That name's already been taken. Dez,
we're going to have a potato off. We do a potato off. We should see it straight on.
All right.
Midwest.
All right,
I'll bring a bowl of my gruel. How dare you guys.
You're the judge coming from, you know.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Kate.
It's on.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thanks
Appreciate
for
Thanksgiving,
thank
everybody.
Thank you for sharing your recipes with us. That was office.
You know,
Kate.
We don't, my family can't cook. So my Thanksgiving dinners with the family would always be, there was always a Kentucky Fried Chicken component.
Ooh, yeah.
Grandpa loves the fried chicken.
I
gotta say real quick though, deep fried turkey, quite good. If you get a chance to do deep fried turkey, I highly recommend it.
I have had deep fried turkey and it's really good. But again, the brine is essential. I've had deep fried turkeys that weren't brined properly.
Oh, no.
And you know, it's whatever.
Now here's an interesting... By the way, this is like unlocking the side of my character where I get really, I can't cook at all, but I'm really interested in food science. So there's a great article, study that this guy kind of informally did where he talked about like, hey, brining doesn't actually do what you think it does. And he has this whole experiment where he compared brined turkey to, dry rub, basically just salting the hell out of it dry without putting it in water. And he found the results actually, in his opinion, better by not brining it. Because his argument was that brining, what are you doing? You're just getting water in there. Like, who the hell cares about water?
I would think putting a salt crust on the turkey would pull the moisture from the meat.
Not the case in this case. Mm. Anyway, it's a good thing. Google it and see if you're wasting your time.
I
haven't tried it. I haven't done the
side-by-side.
Are
you doing anything different this year? Because I know you got a turkey fryer, right?
Well, I think I'm going back up home this year. But deep fried turkey. But my worst Thanksgiving story has a little bit of deep fried turkey in it.
Ooh.
Did you blow your... Would you care to hear about
place
this
up?
One?
Yes.
Let me take you all back a little bit to the height of my Guitar Hero fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was sitting there, I'm running Guitar Hero gigs, making some cash.
Guitar Hero gigs.
Back in the good old days.
That's 06. It's like 06.
This would be somewhere in there. 08.
08.
08, actually. 08. 08. Yeah. Guitar Hero, high of popularity, nothing, no, it'll never be not popular. This game is going to last forever.
I'll be on top.
So I get this call from this guy who's organizing a charity event for, I believe it was Child's Play, to do a stream, like a live stream Guitar Hero thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, it was like, okay, we're going to play through all the songs in Rock. It was Rock Band, actually. We're going to play through all the songs in Rock Band. And we're going to do a live stream. And this is like back in the days when like live streaming, there wasn't even Twitch. Right. It'd be on Ustream, like one of these other pretenders to the throne. And he was going to do this thing. We're going to get sponsored by Energizer. We're going to do a thing that's going to be good for the people. And we're going to do a charity event. And we're going to take place over Thanksgiving weekend. And I was like, okay, you know what? So part of me has this sort of like guilt from being like, I'm actually making money playing Guitar Hero. Maybe I should give a little bit back. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should do something nice. It seems like a good thing. And yeah, it's on Thanksgiving, but yeah, all right. Well, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And so this is taking place in, I believe, Houston, Texas, somewhere in Texas. And Thanksgiving Day was... it was not good. It was weird is what it was. Because it was me and a whole bunch of other rock band players who all flew in there. Mm-hmm. So a whole bunch of people I don't know.
A whole bunch of geeks.
Well, you know, I am one myself. But exactly. There's a certain...
You can own it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, there's a certain, you know, thing when it comes to like rhythm games that would, that drives people to take on rhythm games as their like primary thing. So we're here and we're in Houston. We're miles away from our families. We don't know each other. We're all about to do this charity thing. It's Thanksgiving. And the biggest problem is there's too many people and there's not enough food. And the biggest problem
Carmen's had enough of your story.
Yeah, Carmen's out. He's already leaving. He's so awkwarded out that Carmen's he's actually physically leaving.
Gotta go shoot. I can't wait to see the comments section in this video. Carmen just comes and goes and then just walks out.
Just walks out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks for contributing, John.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
see you, John. Have fun shooting.
John Carmen, once again, always a...
John's working.
Invaluable.
He's busy.
Invaluable.
No, thank you, John.
Asset to this podcast. Really, we would be lost without his direction and singular voice. Ladies and gentlemen, John Carmen. So I'm by myself here. There's not enough food. First problem. There was like one. So you're thinking like maybe 13, 15 people. We have one 12 and a half pound turkey.
Ooh.
What?
For that. You do the math there.
Yeah, that's not gonna
cut.
That's
not good. Cut it. And there was much hubbub about this turkey being deep fried. And the biggest problem was dinner's at 4. Turkey was deep fried at noon. There's a significant amount of time in between deep fried and available.
Yeah.
And side dishes, nobody was bringing anything. We were all just flew in. And so it took place. I remember we ate like in this, it was a church. And I've never seen this before, but the church had a basketball court in it. And the basketball court was carpeted.
Okay.
What?
No. Yeah.
That don't make sense.
It was like we walked in, it was a carpeted basketball court. I was like, what is this? Everything about this is wrong on so many levels. How is there a carpet? Who would play basketball on a carpet? It was so bizarre to me. Anyway.
This sounds like you're... sounds like you were living on the streets and you were at a soup kitchen for Thanksgiving and then concocted this story in your own mind that I am a rhythm game champion. Everyone loves and worships me.
Yeah, these 13 other guys are just guys I was shooting up smack with on the mean streets of Houston.
One of the coolest things we did for Thanksgiving was the time Alex came to visit, our brother Alex, and we just and our buddy Evan was out here at the time. And we just decided everybody gets to pick two things that they love and they can't do without, and you cook them and just add them to the meal.
That's
so we
cool.
had the biggest Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, because we decided, you know what, the Thanksgiving, the stuffing, and you know the cranberry. We've done that 1,000 times and we'll do it 1,000 more.
So much.
Let's do something different this year.
You'll live to 1,000 years old.
We had like we had homemade mac and cheese.
I'll upload my mind to the singularity.
We had chicken strips. We had, those were my two additions.
Bacon cheeseburgers.
This sounds great.
There was twice baked potatoes. Mm. There was some sort of Polish noodle, I think. Oh, man, we went after it.
We didn't go the traditional.
No, we went after
route.
It. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
Kind of thinking of doing that again.
That was delicious.
I was trying to plan this year's dinner, and I'm like, hey,
well, that's
what
most people
do.
Have you ever taken part in an orphan Thanksgiving? Obviously, like, that's usually when your young cat's living in a different town. Everybody's trapped. You just have Thanksgiving together. We did that a bunch.
Yeah, we've done that at Freddy's place before.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a ball.
Yeah. Anyway. So this is not enough food, cold food. Everyone's not fed. It's just awkward and like nobody's really that happy.
What's your favorite aspect of Thanksgiving? Like food is like gorging yourself on delicious foods aside. What is it that something you really love about Thanksgiving or something you remember that...
I look forward to seeing how many people die on Black Friday.
Oh. That's... I mean, Black Friday is a good one, though. Like, it's kind of a gross consumerist response, but I've already started looking at the circulars to see what kind of sweet deals I can get.
I don't participate in all. One year I did because I was getting a Wii.
See, I won't go out, though. I don't do that whole mess.
I can't do it.
I'm not out waiting in line. I'm not at Walmart. I'm not at Best Buy. I'm a cyber shopper only.
I was lucky because where I live, there's a Walmart back home. There's a Walmart that's like serves statistically a lot of people, but it's actually not that busy of a Walmart.
Yeah.
So it's 24-hour Walmart.
So their midnight releases happen. Or sorry, the day releases happen at midnight.
Midnight.
And I literally just roll down over there. I'm like, hey, is this here? Like, I got like the PS4 mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid bundled. And they're like, yeah, we got like 8 of them. I'm like, oh, I'll take one. Mm-hmm. It was like the most. And I was hearing around the, you know, around the country, like, yeah, I was camped out. They're all sold out. And I was like,
No. I don't leave the couch. It's all Amazon shopping.
For I think what my favorite aspect definitely has to be the best nap of the year always takes place on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, easily. If you're not having the best nap of your year on Thanksgiving, you're doing it wrong.
That while the 007 marathon.
Either 007 or the football game. Usually 007.
It's both, you know?
Yeah, you just flip.
I love the 007 marathon.
That nap. Oh, that's the first thing I do. Right when I'm done eating, I go straight to the floor and lay down. I don't even go to a couch.
Oh, man.
I go straight to the floor.
You know, I really feel for the people who are stuck working on Thanksgiving now.
Yeah, that's sad. Well, there's
an interesting pushback this year. Did you see that?
Yeah, people are sort of staking their claim and saying, we are the business that is closed on Thanksgiving Day. It's sad that we've gotten to a point where that has to be
and that's newsworthy and laudable. Exactly. It's like, congratulations, guys, you're closing on the national holiday.
Right.
Like, banks aren't running up and down the streets being like, oh, you won't believe it, we're closing the vaults on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. No one has to work. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Who were the people that did it? Costco?
Costco kind of kicked it off, and then like everyone else, like, people started chiming in on this.
While Walmart is still like, fuck that, we're open.
So it's like a fad.
We're open.
Walmart's like, well, yeah, sweet.
We're more people for us. In fact, we're open even more. Can we be open even more? Every store is 24-hour store now.
Mm-hmm. We made a time machine to slow time down on Thanksgiving.
I always thought, by the way, and I don't think this ever will be done, because I think it's just the logistics are too crazy for it, but I've always wanted to direct a death metal video.
Yeah.
That is all.
I'm already in, by the way.
Yeah. It's all just slow mo. Like, if it's death metal video, so it's like, imagine long intro, instrumental, like, and then the footage is all ultra slow mo phantom footage of people lined up outside of a Black Friday sale, like glass, like pressed against the glass.
Yeah.
The employees, cut to employees, like looking at each other, just terrified, animal fear outside. People are pounding on the windows. And the doors open and people go through, and it's all slow-mo footage of people being trampled to death.
That sounds right. That sounds like...
like, just like you see someone, you see a, like a child's face and then a boot coming in slow motion, just stomping. No blood or anything, but like people just...
No, there could be.
Tearing people apart.
No, just go for it.
Just tearing each other apart.
This sounds like a music video segment from Metalocalypse, the one that never happened. That would be a rad video.
And I'm just in my head, like, this, like, how metal is this? Like, how metal is just like two suburban housewives, like, just fist fight in slow motion? And then in the background, like on top of the aisles, it's the members of the band, like, just like rocking out above the crowd.
They're on the registers.
They're on the register. And so from above, like, you get those angles from above where it looks like they're just in a sea of mosh pit, like, just, but it's not mosh pitters, it's all of America. And that mirror is turned, that camera lens is turned back at us.
Are you disgusted by the whole Black Friday nonsense? People,
which just blows my mind.
Fighting and stealing from each other.
Here's what it is, right? This is like, I think, one of the lessons you got to teach people. And if I have kids, that's why I teach kids. Like, number one, how much is your time worth?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself this question. How much is your time worth? And once you know that, a lot of things start to make sense.
Yeah, they do.
If you're like, you know what? I think I'm worth $20 an hour. That's who I am. I'm $20 an hour. Now, if it's like, okay, if I'm a $20 an hour person and I'm waiting out here for 10 hours, that's $200.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm only saving $50, not worth it.
On some stupid 17-inch TV, right? That's marked 60%.
And I think people, and I think it's like, if you do the, you do the math of how long people stay and how much they actually save, you're like, wow, man, you must think you're a piece of shit because you're not worth anything. And also just, and that also informs a lot of other decisions in your life. For example, am I going to spend another half an hour looking for parking, or am I just going to pay $5 for parking? Because you know what? Life is too short.
Do you think these are people that don't have families or family values, and to them, like, they just have nothing else to do?
No, I don't think so, because I think that there is an addictive quality to the idea of getting a deal and getting a sale and being able to get that and being able to limited, you know, run and limited time only. It's playing across numbers of psychological tricks that are satisfying to us as human beings. But from a logical standpoint, it's like, well, look, man, like, is this really worth? You have to ask yourself, how much is it actually worth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one of those things where if people really thought about that, they'd be like, you know what? I would rather just buy it on Amazon. And I think that's gonna change up. I think more people are gonna buy things online. But like, yeah, no, the Black Friday thing just I understand it, but I also think that it's like it's the equivalent of people who are just like sitting in a casino just gambling, because you're basically just hitting those dopamine, like, you know, triggers and just being like, yeah, I got this deal for so much and whatever. Maybe you don't even need it. And of course, I think it speaks to the sort of mindless buy everything, have to own things. You know, I mean, how many flat screens y'all need?
I've got two and that's enough.
How many do you need? The answer is zero. You know, you don't really need a flat screen. You need a roof over your head. You need food. You need warmth and comfort. There are a few things that you need if you're looking at the hierarchy.
I'm saying you definitely don't. But here's what you don't need. But here's what you don't need. You don't need to get another one just because it's on sale.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. I worked, I was on the other side of this Black Friday thing. That's right. I used to work retail. I was at Best Buy. So I was the guy, I was a supervisor. So I was the guy who would work 16 hours. I was in at 4 a.m, prepping, doors open at 5 or 6. And then you run your ass off.
You see any violence?
No physical violence, but a lot of heated altercations, people fighting.
What was the best one?
You know, I really don't remember, but people would come in and...
Like bodily fluids?
People just expect everything, you know?
Yeah.
They walk in and they go, oh, I want that camera that's $30. It's like, okay, yeah, you just showed up at 7 o'clock at night. We opened 13 hours ago. Those are gone.
Yeah.
Those were gone after 15 minutes of opening the doors. I can't get that for you. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
And then people cause a scene. Mm. People scream in front of their children. They throw stuff. They demand to speak to the manager. I mean, it's gross. Which was me.
And you'd be like, yeah, guess what?
Well, there's nothing more satisfying than someone saying, I want to speak to the manager, and then being able to respond, you're speaking to him, you know?
By the way, here's another life lesson. Here's another life lesson for my kid, right? Know how much power people have. So, for example, when you go and you rail on some associate, you know, whatever on the floor for some price differential, guess what? Probably, in a lot of times, there's nothing they can do. Or if you're railing against some hotel employee for not getting you, guess what? They may actually have no ability to do that. So what you're doing is you're just shouting into the void. Now, go ahead and blow up at people who have the power to change things. But 9 out of 10 times when I see someone like losing their shit in public, they're railing against someone who like literally has no way of fixing
the problem. Also, how often do you think that really gets someone what they want? Losing your shit and causing a scene, nobody wants to help you. They just want to get you out of their face at that
point.
Now,
see, I would argue this. In the right context and the right person, it can.
Sure.
But again, it's a very tactical thing. And people just kind of like are, you know, they just like, well, I'm just going to, this is the person that I'm going to focus all my anger on this person here. And it's like, yeah, guess what? It's out of stock. You're better off or like you're better off asking them to look it up on the computer. See if there's anyone else on it.
Do you have anything else that I might be interested in?
Right.
I came all the way down.
Know
here.
How much power people have.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to do that.
It was such a rush doing that.
Doing what?
Selling on Black Friday.
Yeah. Really?
Retail. It was exhausting, but you got such a charge.
Always
just
be
a rush of
closing.
Dopamine. Always be closing. Yep.
You were that guy. You were my second Thanksgiving.
Remember that Universal Studios trip I got?
Yeah.
That's because I ran the most successful mobile department based upon all the metrics that Best Buy tracked on Black Friday that year.
No way.
Yeah, the most successful department in the entire company. We
really?
Killed. Yeah, we prepped for weeks. We were planning and strategizing, and I set up all these packages. Everyone had their pitches down, and we absolutely crushed.
Please tell me you did a Baldwin speech. You know what it takes to sell televisions?
You
12-month warranty
plans. When it is
plans.
Your job and you're that age, I was 18 at the time, and you believe in everything this company is feeding you, you will do anything to sell this crap.
What was your technique, though? How did you become the best in the world?
You have to. The key is...
salesmanship tips with Des Dolly.
You have to identify with the person you're selling to.
Empathy.
Right? You have to empathize. You have to ask enough questions. You mimic. There's lots of little tricks like mimicking
body language, speech patterns.
Wow. You know, all this different stuff.
Wow.
Make them feel like you are just an extension of their family and you're appealing to their needs, you know? And you just don't take no for an answer at the end of the day.
Really?
Yeah.
So sell me a television.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You would have fired me.
The one job I had in sales when I worked at 24-hour fitness, yeah. you would have canned me so hard.
Yeah.
But like selling a fitness thing, like how, like you're appealing to such base human emotions there.
Yeah, that's
like,
yeah.
listen, that's man, it's
well, but that was the hook though.
No, but
that
I feel like you can't, no, I feel like that's easier. I feel like it's easier to get someone on a gym membership that they'll never use. Because
yeah.
you can always back down yeah. to a point. You can level with them. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, everyone, what does everyone want? Everyone wants to look fantastic.
Yeah.
And everyone believes.
Yes.
Everyone believes wholeheartedly that they can put in that work. Mm-hmm. So you already have people in this psychological trap, which
yeah,
is just like, well,
true.
Look, you already
they
want this.
Do it.
Yeah,
you
okay,
believe
I buy
it.
That.
You need it. And all you have to do is just do this. And then it becomes like an aspirational thing. It's like it's not just getting it and it's a thing that's taking the money out of their bank account. Getting it is what is that first, it's taking that first step to better everything in their life.
Yeah.
And you're just convincing them that all it takes to take that first step is you just got to sign right here. It's mm-hmm. easiest sell in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you work during the holidays at the gym? Are there more or less people coming in
right before
New Year's is actually a great time because
yeah.
people
yeah.
buy memberships and like right during New Year's because their New Year's
resolution,
situation
yeah
yeah so then
I'm just curious about Thanksgiving season
yeah,
if
it's
just
right
empty
after
gyms.
Right after Thanksgiving you see a bunch of yeah. people yeah. signing up.
Have you heard of this really interesting way of like getting yourself to do something self-motivating thing by externalizing your basically you say this, you're like, all right guys, I'm going to lose, you know, X number of pounds, or I'm not going to cheat on the diet or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you basically just write your friend a check for $200 blank or whatever, however much money.
If you don't accomplish that goal,
if you don't accomplish
that
goal, or if you cheat,
they
send it to like an organization you hate. Like they send it to the KKK in
yeah.
your name or just like something ridiculous. So then it's like, oh no, if I cheat, not only am I cheating on myself, not only that, the KKK is getting $500.
Oh my God.
Like, gosh.
There is a great.
A
have
great
you seen
idea.
Nathan For You?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Comedy
yeah.
Central?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He does
thing.
A great segment where his plan to help people lose weight is to get them to write these horrible letters to their bosses. So he convinces this one woman to write this
it's the most
horrifically racist letter. And he says, look, if you don't you're committing.
If
you don't lose 5 pounds in a week, we're going to give this to your boss. And then she didn't. And then it's a scene of Nathan and this woman
the most awkward
trying to explain to her boss like is happening.
Because
why
for the first time, you actually see Nathan like actually like no, I'm going to get this person fired. Like,
yeah, yeah.
See,
no,
like,
no. Hold on, let me fix this. Let me fix this. I took it a step too far.
I have to see that.
It's
I still
amazing.
Haven't caught up on all those episodes. I've watched two.
Great show.
Oh my, I cried so hard I was laughing. That's the hardest I've laughed in a while. Probably since John Benjamin Has a Van.
Also a great show.
Which he was on.
Yeah, yeah, I loved that one. Yeah. That's just my kind of humor.
Great show.
Yeah.
What are we doing? How are we doing on time here?
Time, we're just about done. So
oh,
if you want to wrap it up.
Well, listen, I hope you guys enjoyed these delicious Thanksgiving recipes. Maybe try them on your table.
Well, I'll post my sweet potato buds recipe.
Tell them to check out the survey, too.
Oh, that's right. And if you haven't yet already, head on over to podsurvey.com/facerocker. Fill out a little survey for us.
Mm-hmm.
It gets us some information on you guys as an aggregate whole. And you also find some very funny, hilarious things about like the people who listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much of your time, man.
No,
we're giving away some cool stuff.
Even I did it.
Yeah,
I listened to this podcast. And many pointed things to say about this podcast.
Exactly.
But yes, fill out that survey. It'll help us out immensely in terms of keeping up the schedule, delivering these. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Oh, by the way, also, if you fill out that survey, we're giving away, they're giving away a $100 Amazon gift card randomly. Mm-hmm. We are going to be giving away a whole merch prize pack, Steam game, whatever you want, thing to three
sort of
people.
Christmas cornucopia prize pack.
Christmas cornucopia prize pack. That's a good name for it. We're going to give away the Christmas cornucopia, Rocket Jump Christmas cornucopia prize pack.
Hashtag Rocket Jump Christmas cornucopia prize pack.
Oh, three people. And someone has a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Head on over to podsurvey.com/rocket. Sorry,
slash
face rocker. Podsurvey.com/face rocker. Filled out. Do us a solid. Thank you so much. Subscribe to podcasts and iTunes if you haven't. Get delivered to you every day.
And have
tell all your friends about it. And have yourself
a happy Thanksgiving.
Hopefully not the worst Thanksgiving of your life.
And if you do, let us know about it.
Oh yeah,
we'd
like to hear about it.
All right,
that's enough. I'm hungry now.
Yeah, let's go grocery
shopping.
Makes
me want to eat cake.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.